Well, enough of that. It is time for me to go to work, and hopefully to go to work on you. Some weeks ago, I was talking with a counselor. He counsels young drug addicts. And he told me that for a long time, he did the normal counseling thing. He would repeat back to them what they said. So you're saying, da, 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 da. And the young, troubled person would nod, yes, yes, yes. But the counselor, his name is Pat, knew that he was not getting through to them. So he tried something different. As the young addict was talking about his or her life, he started to type into the computer what the young person was saying. And after a little while then, Pat, the counselor, would take the monitor on his desk and swivel it, and he said, "Is this what you're saying?" And the answer would come back, "Yeah, yeah, that's it exactly." We may all speak the same words, but that doesn't mean we're speaking the same language. The great challenge of the ministry is to find the right words, the right facial expression, the opportune time, to find the right message that you type in for your newsletter article, your Twitter, your email, whatever it happens to be. Great challenge of ministry is to find the right whatever it is, so that the Spirit of God can use your understandable words to bring all the love and the hope that are in Christ Jesus to that person. The Word of God, the Bible, is a powerful word. We know that. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Isaiah tells us that it never returns void. But as powerful and effective as the word of the Almighty Living God can be, it will return void. It will be a dull sword. If you and I don't make it understandable to the person across from us. Before ministry, there is something called seminary. And the task of the seminary is to make sure that you and I, before we go out there, get it right ourselves. You and I put in your name. You and I are the troubled people sitting on the other side of the desk. This year is the 400th anniversary of the translation of the King James Bible. The King James Bible has profoundly influenced the development of the English language, just as Martin Luther's translation a century before shaped the development of the German language. In fact, scholars have shown that the Luther translation had a significant impact on the King James translation. Father Horn, I had to get that in. Just had to get that in for y'all. Through the King James translation, the Spirit of God has brought the Lord Jesus Christ into countless hearts for over four centuries. It was through that translation that my own spiritual life was born and nurtured, and for a lot of people in the crowd, exactly the same way. Now, when the King James translation first appeared, either in 1611 or 1612, it's not known when, the early editions carried a preface written by Dr. Miles Smith. It was called The Translators to the Reader. And it's a splendid piece. Eventually, it was no longer printed because it was long and a little bit on the academic side, but a splendid piece of writing by Dr. Smith. And in that preface, The Translators to the Reader, we read this. Translation it is that openeth the window to let in the light. Translation it is that openeth the window to let in the light. Now, most of you seminarians know or will know about translation, right? A joyous task, isn't it? Your exegetical professors are sitting over there. It's a joyous task, isn't it? You sit there with a Greek text and a lexicon, and you look back and forth. Hopefully you don't have a pony with you. You look back and forth, trying to find the best, the most accurate word to convey what the text says. That's translation in the narrow sense. But there is also translation in a broader sense, and it is in this broader sense that I am speaking of translation in this sermon. We may all be speaking the same words in the same language, but that doesn't mean that we understand one another, that our language is the same. It's just like that counselor turning the monitor. They've been speaking the same language, just as we speak the same language on this campus. But until a new way was found by the counselor, Pat, to make it understandable to the troubled person sitting on the other side of the desk, you and me, the Spirit of God is not able to do His work. The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, has a language that is totally alien to the language and thought patterns and worldview with which you and I were born. Today's gospel lesson shows Jesus translating the language of the kingdom of God into the lives of disciples like you and me. Now, it's an interesting fact that when you and I, earthbound, boxed in people, hear the word of God, sometimes we can't hear it too well. Sometimes you can't hear the gospel lesson too well, right? Right? So let's listen in again, with hope and fingers crossed, on the gospel lesson for today, in which Jesus translates this language that is not our born inherited heart language. Listen first to what Jesus said.
I must go to Jerusalem. There the nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses will make me suffer terribly.
Keep living in the Word of God. The monitor is starting to turn. Jesus told the disciples what the kingdom of God is like. He said it's about a Savior who comes into this world, is betrayed, put to death on a cross, but is alive. But that's not the natural language of your heart and mind, especially the suffering part. You and I did not inherit a language in our heart that is into voluntary suffering, especially when the suffering is caused because of your sin, fill in your name, or my sin, I fill in mine. And so Jesus had a real job of translating what it means to be a suffering Savior to Peter. But Peter instinctively, like every one of us sanctified people, Peter instinctively wasn't buying into it. Peter said, listen,
God would never let this happen to you, Lord.
Now, they're speaking the same words, but two different kingdoms were in collision. Translation was needed. Did you ever have the opportunity? I know you all have. When you can't get a window open, it's jammed shut. You all know? Really? Do those heads turn at all? Yeah. Do you know what it means to have a jammed window? Yeah. Sometimes it's because it's been painted shut. Sometimes it's because the heat has swelled the wood and you really got to exercise some force to get that window open. That's what Jesus did to Peter. He forced the window open so that the light from above could enter. Listen.
Satan, get away from me. You're in my way because you think like everyone else and not like God.
Satan, get out of my way. That's a forceful translation. Boys and girls, don't try this at home. The fact is that God is generally very gentle with us. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. But sometimes God does jolt us. God jolted Peter. And whenever the jarring and the jolting happens to you or to me, whenever we feel that we are rebuked by God himself, understand that is not God's ultimate purpose. It is God trying to get the translation through into our heart that does not instinctively, inherently understand the wonderful things of his kingdom. Lamentations chapter 3 says, "It is of the Lord's kindness that we are not consumed. His mercies never fail." So, Peter was jarred, Peter was jolted, but the Lord Jesus forced open the window of Peter's heart so that the light could come in, the light from above. And we know by reading subsequently in the New Testament that Peter got the translation. The language of his heart was turned to understand what suffering, voluntary suffering, is in carrying the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in today's gospel lesson, Jesus lays out for you and for me very clearly what it means. What it means for you and me to follow after him. What our heart language is. Listen. Sometimes we have to listen and listen and listen again so that the words of the kingdom are translated into our ears and our heart, which so often have difficulty hearing. So being a seminarian, being a professor, staff member, being a Christian, just being a Christian, is about following the Lord Jesus Christ and learning the language of his heart. And by his Spirit, through word and sacrament, letting the language of his heart become our heart language. Now, this is not always easily done. Sometimes it doesn't come out loud enough. Sometimes we get the translation wrong. Sometimes we don't show the translation in our lives. Those early editions of the King James Bible 400 years ago had some remarkable errors. One edition, the printer forgot to put the word "not" in the sixth commandment. So the sixth commandment came out saying, "Thou shalt commit adultery." And that edition was known as the Wicked Bible. Another example is in St. Luke chapter 16, 24. In that verse, Luke 16, 24, Jesus says that anyone who wants to follow him, like you and I, should hate our own life. But the printer got it wrong. And in that Bible, Jesus says that if you want to follow him, you should hate your own wife. And that came to be known as the Wife Hater Bible. We will not always get this right. It's a lifelong quest to hear what Jesus is saying and let the Spirit transform the language of our hearts. One of the great things about Concordia Seminary is that we often have visitors on campus, and oftentimes our visitors deliver lectures that really carry a great wallop, real good stuff for ministry and for our following of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last May, for our day of homiletical reflection, we were privileged to have Dr. Thomas Troger of Yale Divinity School on campus. And Dr. Troger told a story that is a true story. It's his own experience. So this is not my telling, it's his telling of the story just through me. I'm translating it to you. It seems that Dr. Troger had very serious surgery, and the morning after the surgery, he was starting to groggily wake up in the intensive care unit of the hospital. And as he groggily started to gain his consciousness, he heard a pounding. Bam! 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 And he thought, oh, Lord, I just had major surgery, and there's this incessant hospital construction going out there. They must be driving piles. Bam, 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 bam. Dear God, he prayed, stop that. I've just had surgery. Stop that. And you know how God answers prayers? Bam! 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 You know it, don't you? You know it. Sometimes it seems like you know exactly what you need and you pray for it earnestly. Bam! 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 It seems that God is not hearing. Well, as I said, Troger was waking up slowly in the intensive care unit. And as he got more conscious, he remembered what the surgeon had told him. The surgeon had implanted an artificial heart valve and said that for some days, this is going to make quite a pounding noise in your chest. Dear God, cancel that prayer. Stop that one. Pull it back. And Troger said, every beat is a gift from God. Bam, 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 bam. Every beat of a Christian's heart pounds, pounds as a reminder of his grace and his gifts. Bam, bam, bam. Every beat of our heart on this campus is an opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ to teach us the language of his heart. Translation it is that openeth the window to let in the light. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.